want to welcome you. My name is Pastor B. Wallace, and you're tuned in to Simplify Complexity, your relationship podcast. I want to welcome you to our show today, and I want to ask that we keep Keontae and his family in prayer. We were actually scheduled to do this podcast together, but praise God, his wife went into labor yesterday, and so he is where he's supposed to be, right there with his wife, with his newborn child, and so we're just really excited for him. We want to keep him in prayer. Okay, so our topic today is going to center around anger and how we can better understand our anger, helping us to allow our anger to be more constructive versus destructive. But before we get to that, I first just want to thank Harris Booker from Banker's Life for being a sponsor and just really supporting the podcast. And I want to encourage you to give them a call and be better informed about insurance. Don't let insurance be the last thing you think of, because it will be the first thing you need. So give them a call at 909-717-4886. All right. So anger. I guess I want to start out with a question. Would you say you have an anger problem? And I want you to think about that, because what's interesting about that is many times when we think about anger, we view anger as this person who yells and this person who screams, maybe this person who's abusive or this person who is violent. But anger can manifest itself in many different ways. For example, would you consider a person who is whining, maybe they're angry? Or a person who is pouting or sulking, someone who is irritable, or someone who is moody. See, all of these are outward expressions of anger. And so when we talk about this subject, I really want you to tune in. I want you to pay attention, because this applies to you, because all of us deal with different types of anger. All of us deal with the emotions of anger. And if we're not careful, we will allow that anger to manifest in our life in a more destructive way versus constructive. Now, that word constructive is interesting, because it means to be useful, to have purpose, to be almost positive. But when we think about anger, I'm sure that that's not something that comes to your mind, because most of us were used to the destructive side of anger. If you want to better your relationships, even if it's in a marriage, if it's with a man or a woman, if it's with parents, if it's with children, then we have to have a better hold on anger. And it actually reminded me of a situation that came about maybe a couple of weeks ago, where my daughter, she was in camp for the summer, and she was frustrated about something. And in this frustration, somebody was laughing at her. And so she decided she's just going to walk across the street from the youth building over to the main sanctuary. Well, nobody told her she can do that. She just decided that she's just going to walk across the street over there. So now at this point, you have the youth director looking for her, and people are looking for her, but they're not really sure where she is. And so I find out about it. And the more that people are looking for her, the more that I found myself really getting upset. And I mean, I was angry to where I was like, if once I find her, it's on. And so I don't know if any of you guys have ever been there. I mean, children will do it to you, but not just children. I mean, relationships. So we are in situations where we can find ourselves getting angry and angry. And I felt myself about to explode once I found her. But then my mind started to go back to some things I was reading in a really great book called Good and Angry by David Powlison. That's Powlison. And in his book, Good and Angry, he talks about understanding anger. And understand that when you're angry, you care about something. When you're angry, you're saying something matters. So when you're irritable, when you're frustrated, when you find yourself moody, then you are saying that something matters. So in that moment, I paused and I was like, okay, wait a minute. Before I begin to express my anger, because that's what many of us do. What happens is, for many of us, when we're angry, we just begin to express it, but we don't give thought to what exactly am I angry about. And so just having that moment of pause to really consider, okay, what am I angry about? What am I frustrated about? It helped me to better clarify to her. So as I began to communicate, I just didn't yell, but rather I was really able to express the things that matter to me, the things that I cared about, and I was able to communicate them in such a way that it was constructive to where she could understand. And so I told her, I said, you know what, your actions were just a bad reflection upon me as a parent. Because people are like, okay, well, here goes Brian's kid just going to just walk off because she's angry. And so just expressing that, because I did care about that. You care about how people view you in light of your children or how people view you in light of others. And so that was one of the things that I cared about, is like, you're giving a poor reflection upon me. And actually, God feels the same way. So when we're out there doing things that are ungodly and we say that we're Christians, God gets upset, because God is saying, wait a minute, you as a Christian, you as a child of mine, you are poorly representing me among others. And so God holds us accountable about that. Another thing that I was expressing was that trust. So here it is, when you just walk off, you're beginning to deteriorate the trust that you have with your youth director and me and others. And so I began to express that trust is important. I really cared about that. And I felt like you damaged that by walking across the street. Now, mind you, when you're 12 years old, your emotions go. And so in that moment, what she was feeling, she didn't think about all those things. But in my anger, because I was able to pause and really consider, what am I angry about? What do I care about? I was able to turn something that could have been destructive in anger and communicate it in a constructive way to where she was able to receive that. So what does this have to do with you? I want to encourage you to take points from David's book. And I want you to really consider, as you're getting angry, understand that your anger or your irritability or your frustration is something that you care about, something that really means a lot to you. Now, I want you to pause and I want you to wait for a moment, because even though we're angry or though we care about something, something matters to us, it doesn't necessarily mean that that something is right. It just means that it matters to us. And I'll give you an example in the Bible in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 8. It says, then Saul was very angry, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000, and to me, they have ascribed only 1,000. So for those that are not familiar with this story, what we find is you have Saul, who was the first king of Israel. And Saul, being the first king of Israel, he began to get angry with David. David is the hero that many of us know of. David who slayed Goliath. David who had a heart after God. And so we find that in their relationship, there was hostility. And it says specifically that he became angry. But what I want you to know is he became angry about something that was not necessarily righteous. And so his anger was self-centered, but it was still something he cared about. Because what happened is eventually David became this person who will go out and he would fight the battles. And as he was fighting battles, he became very popular. So on this particular day, as they were coming back from battle, you had the people singing, the people celebrating. But now the ladies, all the girls, they were singing more about David. So they began to say, David has killed his 10,000s, but they only said that Saul killed his thousands. Well, what did he care about? Well, he cared about how people viewed him. And you might be in a position to where you care about how people view you. I know sometimes I care about how people viewed me, and that's one of the things I expressed. But he cared too much. He became obsessed with it to where he was angry for the wrong reasons, but yet it was still what he cared about. So there's going to be moments that you're going to find yourself caring about something, even though it's not necessarily the right thing. He also cared about getting the attention. He didn't want David to have all that attention. He wanted to be the one who got all of the attention. He also cared about being king. So here it is. He began to say to himself, he was like, well, wait a minute. What else can he have but my kingdom? He's going to steal my kingdom. So he was scared that David was going to steal his kingdom. But here's the thing. David was never a threat. It was a threat that he manifested within himself, but yet it was still real to him. And because it was real to him, it was something that he cared about, even though it was not a true threat. As we take time and we pause what we care about, and we bring that to God, God can begin to work on us and work on our hearts and help us to better understand what is happening inside of us. Now, that brings us to the second thing that I want us to talk about when it comes to understanding anger. David, in his book, again, he talks about that anger isn't this thing that is separate from you. It's not a separate entity, but rather it is you. It is all of you. And so many of us, we might ascribe to anger. We might say, well, you need to get it under control. Well, you need to better understand it. And so we have all these sayings when it comes to anger, but it's you. It's you physically. It's you emotionally. It's you mentally. It's you behaviorally. And it's you motivationally. So all five of these areas of you are being impacted when you find yourself irritable. Your body is beginning to change. Your physical body, where you might have adrenaline. You might find that your skin color begins to change. You might find that your stomach begins to turn. And so there's other moments where our emotions are impacted, where when we're angry, it's a feeling. I feel hatred. I feel troubled. I feel distressed. But then finally, it's a mind thing too. And so your mind is being impacted. What's happened or what is happening to you is something that's being played over and over and over again. And David, in his book, he describes this as a virtual trial, a virtual courtroom that is happening. And it's so true, because when somebody does us wrong, when somebody gets us angry, we begin to play that over and over again. And we put that person on trial in our head. And the thing about the trial is rigged. The trial is set up, because there are no witnesses. There is no defense. There's no evidence or due process. There's no second chances. There's no plea bargaining. There's no plea bargaining. But the verdict is predetermined. The verdict is you're guilty. You did it. You're guilty. You're wrong. And that's where we have to be very careful. We have to watch what's happening in our head. But not only do we have to watch what's happening to our head, but we have to watch our behavior. Because our behavior also begins to manifest itself to where we find ourselves in like a battle. We find ourselves in a war where we have battle lines that are drawn. It's us against them. We begin to form those allies. We begin to form enemies. And we begin to have this situation where either we're on the attack or we're on the defense. See, because in war or in battle, there's two different things that are happening. You have an offense and you also have a defense. And so for some of us, when we get irritable, for some of us, when we get moody or frustrated, we go on the attack. We go on the offense. But for others, rather, we go on the defense. We go on the retreat. And so we cut people off. And so you might be the person that's listening to this. And when you get angry, your behavior is, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to talk about it. Leave me alone. And you push people away. Well, that's still a form of defense. And so we got to be careful that our behavior is not only attacking, but our behavior also isn't just pushing people away and cutting people off, because both of those things are destructive. The last point that he talks about is, what are our motives? What are the motives behind what is happening in your heart? And that's what led us to talk about this, because when we look at Saul, where was his heart? Were his motives self-centered, or were his motives Christ-centered? See, because when your motives are self-centered, then you will have what's called self-righteous. You will have anger that is self-righteous, and that type of anger that is self-righteous produces ungodliness. It produces bad or destructive anger. And so the way that you're going to deal with that conflict is going to be in a negative way, because you put them on trial and you put them to the standard, not by God, but you put them to the standard of you and what you believe to be right, what you believe to be righteous, because you believe the world revolves around you. And that's dangerous. And that's what we find here with what Saul did. Saul was in the situation where he trumped up charges against David and made David the bad guy, when David was never really the bad guy. But in his mind, in his heart, he was the bad guy. And so his anger was self-righteous. One of the things that we have to strive for, and when we find ourselves angry, we have to know that it's us physically that is getting angry. It's not a separate entity. And we have to notice our body changes. We have to notice what we're feeling at the moment. And we have to respond to that. We have to say, Lord, protect my mind so I don't begin to just assume or automatically predict that the person that I'm angry with is guilty. But Father, help me to allow that to be a fair trial. Guide that mind process that's happening so I'm open to hear what their situation is. Because I'm sure we've all been there where we get angry and what we do is we just say they're guilty. We react. So our behavior begins to react on that person. And as a result, we actually jump the gun. We learn later like, oops, like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't have more information. And so as we gain more information, we realize that we were wrong. And so we got to be careful about that. And lastly, you got to pray and say, Lord, protect my heart. Lord, protect my motives. Help me to seek your righteousness. Lord, help me to seek what you would have. Protect my motives so that way my anger is not about self-righteous. It's not about me. See, because how do we turn our irritability into something constructive? That takes effort. That takes time. That takes work. That takes the power of the Holy Spirit. But it's possible because God uses constructive anger as a useful tool. So you might see injustice. You might see somebody being abused. You might see somebody being taken advantage of. And as a result, that irritates you. That gets you angry and you step in to help that person. And now your anger has been used as a constructive way to fight for those who are being persecuted, to fight for those and help those who are being hurt. And so how are you doing that in your relationship? How are you doing that when you have conflict? Take time to consider exactly what is happening. What do I care about? And as I begin to understand what I care about, I begin to communicate that to the person that I'm targeting, the person that my behavior is targeting. And as I do that, I want to think about, Lord, protect my mind. So I don't begin to just put this person on trial, but Lord, help me to love them how you would have me to love them. And to say, Lord, protect my heart. Lord, watch my motives so that may my motives are pure. And I want to end with a couple questions that David talks about in his book, Good and Angry, that can help us to check our motives. One of the things you can ask yourself when you find yourself irritable or angry or frustrated is when you get upset, what do you want? Now think about that for a moment. What do you really want in that moment? Is what you want about you? Is it about God? Is it about them? What is it about? And so that will check our motives. One of the things you can ask yourself is, why does that thing matter so much to you? It is amazing some of the things that we can get angry about. We can get angry about some of the smallest things. And so we have to ask ourselves, okay, why does that thing mean so much? What is it about that? I can allow so many other things to go, but this thing, it means so much. And so you might find yourself where there are things to be angry about. So for example, if somebody breaks trust, you cannot have a relationship without trust. And so when somebody begins to steal that trust, when somebody is disloyal in that trust, then that's something to care about. That's something important. The motives are right, but how we begin to navigate that, how we begin to pursue that, so it's constructive. So my heart is right. My motives are right. But Lord, now I need to engage this person and communicate in such a way so they understand what they did. And now we need to work on a resolution that is constructive. And I'm hoping to do another podcast episode where we'll kind of talk about that portion of it a little bit more, where we'll talk about turning that into a constructive and some of the things that we can do to turn that into a constructive conflict. So until then, I just really thank you guys for listening in. I pray that some of these things will bless you and God will keep you. So I just want to close in prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. And Father, just help us to be mindful of our anger. What is it that we care about? What is it that really matters to us? And Lord, protect our motives, protect our mind, protect our behavior. So all of those things are constructive and not destructive. Give us patience. Father, I thank you for Keontae and his family. And I just pray many blessings upon them, that you'll watch over them and watch over their newborn. We love you and we thank you. It's all these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God bless you and God keep you. Until next time. Stand up, put your hands up, make some noise, party with me. It's a family reunion and my family's with me. In the house of the Lord, yeah. That's what you come for. Come on, stand up, put your hands up, make some noise, party with me. It's a family reunion and my family's with me. There's no place I'd rather be or people I'd rather see. Where there's two or three, then there the Lord will be. Where the Lord is, then there you'll see me. If the Lord ain't going, then I'm not going. Let us be best mind with the mind of Christ. Let us love one another as you will love I. You need me just as much as I need you, because a body can't function when a body's been too.